Hello, everybody. Josh Brown here, back for another great episode on Franchise Euphoria. Well, today's episode is brought to you by IndieFranchiseLaw.com, a leading resource in the franchise space to help you if you're considering buying a franchise, turning your business into a franchise, or growing your business through a licensing or franchise structure. So go on, check it out, IndieFranchiseLaw.com. I think you'll find a lot of valuable and free information as you continue to kind of weigh franchising and licensing and the growth of your business. Without further ado, I hope you enjoy today's episode. On today's episode, I enjoyed a nice interview with Nicole DiPietro, who's part of the Jeremiah's Italian Ice franchise team. She joined Jeremiah's Italian Ice in 2016 as vice president to assist in positioning the company for growth. She's been instrumental in developing the company's core values, mission, and vision, along with the current infrastructure. She has successfully added elements of culture, accountability, and process to the brand, delivering excellent financial results. Founded in 1996 and franchising since the spring of 2019, Jeremiah's has expanded across Florida and gained a loyal customer base. Each store boasts an upbeat atmosphere full of vibrant colors and offers over 40 flavors of indulgent, high-quality Italian ice, as well as creamy, soft ice cream. A synthesis of these two core products, the Jeremiah's Gelati, is the showcase of the menu with layers of Italian ice swirled with thick homemade soft ice cream, offering nearly limitless flavor combinations. They've awarded more than 80 franchises to more than 30 franchisee groups, including their first out-of-state locations in Arizona, Georgia, North Carolina, and Texas. Really enjoyed this interview with Nicole and hope you do as well. Hello, Nicole. Welcome to Franchise Euphoria. How are you doing?
Hi. Thank you for having me. I'm doing great. Thank you. How are you?
I'm good. I'm excited to talk to you, learn about Jeremiah's Italian Ice. I must convey, I don't know that much about it. And so I'm excited to learn about the concept. But before we dive into the actual concept, take a couple minutes. Tell us about yourself and your experience.
Okay, awesome. Well, I have had the pleasure and the honor to serve in the hospitality industry my entire career. I started at a bakery when I was in high school. I worked there all 4 years of high school, so definitely taught me some excellent work ethic and really how to be of service to communities. And then I moved to Orlando to attend the University of Central Florida. So go Knights. And when I moved up to Orlando, I needed a job. And so I stumbled into a burrito joint. And I just started working there. And shortly after I started working there, the owner had approached me and asked me if I was interested in helping him grow his company, because the first person he asked told him no. So ironically enough, I was cleaning hot sauce off of the floor and he just kind of said, "Hey, you, are you good in math?" And I was like, "Yeah, I mean, I guess so." And he's like, "Well, do you want to do it?" And I said, "Oh, okay. Yeah, I'll give it a shot. You know, what are you looking for?" And, you know, I had worked in service capacity with my bakery experience and just like serving customers and preparing orders and things of that nature. And so I started working at Tijuana Flats Burrito Company and when they had one store location. So I started there as a cashier slash server. And then quickly after, got acclimated through operations and became a shift leader and then became a manager. And I was doing this while I was attending school full time. And so when the owner decided he wanted to open a second location, helped with all of that and kind of really learned the ins and outs of what it takes to open a restaurant or open a business in the food service industry. So everything from licensing and permitting and things of that nature to open our second location. So I was kind of running shift at both locations. And then I also worked out of a small office in his garage. And, you know, some of my tasks included walking his three-legged dog. That's a true story. And, you know, the things that you do when you're starting out and
doing anything, right? Anything they ask you to
do. I know, right? Anything and everything, but really learning front of the house, learning back of the house, learning all those different components of how to run a business. I was really fortunate enough to work for a company that had an outstanding culture and was able to be a part of that growth in the infrastructure. And so throughout my college career, I think by the time I was ready to graduate, we had opened five locations. And I was never really planning on staying with the company. I was planning, you know, I had other dreams. I was really big. I have a heart and a passion to serve. So I was going to join the Peace Corps when I graduated. And so, you know, not really thinking that this was going to go much further than, you know, the five stores or, you know, being a part of it during college. It was awesome, but it wasn't really my long-term game plan. So I, they approached me and said, we really would like you to stay. And I said, well, okay, well, I'll give it a year, see how that goes. And then after a year, I was getting kind of antsy and I really wanted to go back to school. So they said, we'll pay for it. And so they paid for me to get my master's degree. And then I stayed there for 20 years. And it was an incredible, incredible experience because throughout that 20-year term, I was able to help grow that concept into a regional brand. And at one point we were franchising and had gone through, you know, all of the different things that come along with franchising. We had some joint venture relationships as well. I had the honor of really cultivating a team from scratch and really building the infrastructure with all the departments, you know, wore many hats. And then helped grow the brand for 20 years. And then my last role with the company was really handling the transaction to sell the company. So I handled the M&A transaction for 3 years. And right when that was kind of nearing its end, I decided that my time there was done. I had some health challenges and I basically resigned from my position. And then I had to go through some pretty aggressive treatment. And then as I was kind of coming up, I was trying to figure out what I really wanted to do. I knew that my heart and soul really lied between the hospitality industry and the nonprofit sector, because also throughout my term at Tijuana, we had created a 501c3, a nonprofit organization, which really helped me get embedded in the community and help accomplish that goal for myself, that personal goal and professional goal. So I then took a position as a CFO with a nonprofit, and then just, you know, that bug for being back in the industry really was kind of weighing on me. I was really involved with the Florida Restaurant and Lodging Association, the NRA, served on the executive committee for the FRA. LA. So I really became involved in a different side of the operation, which was awesome. Just kind of learning how, you know, how everything plays in from the different government layers and things of that nature and how it really impacted our industry. And so I ended up figuring out that's where I wanted to be. And I had met with Jeremy from Jeremiah's Italian Ice. And at the time, he thought he needed a CFO. And so I was like, well, let me spend some time in the organization. I was already a fan. I was already a customer. And after spending some time, I realized, you know, you definitely do not need a CFO. You have a really, really strong controller. She had been here for 5 or 6 years and just really fell in love with the team just because they also had the crux of an awesome culture. And so I said to him, I said, I don't really think you need that, but there are some other things that I do think that you need that I think I can really help put in place because I've done this for, you know, with a company. So I have a lot of experience, and it's kind of a special skill set because a lot of people kind of can get in on the back end when things are really blowing up, and even some people get in on the front end before it gets to that point, but then they leave. Well, I had that unique opportunity to be able to go through the entire process, so it really set me up for really being beneficial for Jeremiah's Italian Ice, and so that's kind of where I am.
So, when you first met Jeremy from Jeremiah's Italian Ice, how many locations did they have at that time?
We had 17 locations at that time.
And that was when? Was that 2015, 16?
Mm-hmm. Right in 2016. And at that point in time, Jeremy was really, he knew he wanted to grow. He wanted to grow and expand. I mean, one of his main goals was really to put Italian Ice on the map. And so what we did was we put a really solid strategy in place to start building his infrastructure because there were a lot of missing pieces operationally. So we hired area managers. We made sure every store location had a store manager. And we started to really they had the basis of all the right processes and they had such an awesome team already. So I just kind of helped come in and cultivate those roles and really formalize them and then start formalizing all the training processes and all the accountability pieces. We did have plans to open from a corporate standpoint. So at that point, we had 5 leases in place and we opened 5 corporate store locations in 2018. And then during that time, Jeremy secured the partnership with PGP and he decided, you know, I really think now that we were able to establish some really solid systems and get the right people in the right seat in the bus, and I really want to embark on the franchising. It was something that they had spoken about and even kind of dabbled into before I came on board with the company. But we were at the point where we had set the company up for success to be able to do that. So at that point, we kind of changed direction and we started to put a new strategy in place. And here we are with the franchise opportunity for Jeremiah's Italian Ice.
Did Jeremy always think about franchising, or was it one of those things that is often the case where you're going along, you're growing a business, and then, you know, in a business like this, it's oftentimes the customers who come in and say, hey, are you franchising? Because, you know, I know somebody here who'd love to open a location. Or was this part of his plan all along?
It was part of the plan, especially early on. I think, again, his real life goal was to put Italian Ice on the map. Him being from the north and really now relocating to the south, you know, because we have the warm climate on pretty much all year round, thought that it was a great market for it. So he had plans for that. And at one point in time, early on, before they started even kind of growing from a corporate standpoint, started doing some of that franchise work and looked into it and got an FDD back then and got, all of those documents together, but then realized, hey, now is not the right time. We need to button up some stuff and really get this production being really solid and tight. And so it did come back around. But throughout that time, you know, to your point, we had so many loyal customers and fans that wanted to be a part of the brand's growth that we were constantly getting requests for franchising. And so we kind of just kept that database, knowing that at some point in time we were going to revisit it. We have been so fortunate that, you know, a lot of the agreements that we have signed have been from that time period, from people who have, you know, just been diligent and kept reaching back out saying, when are you going to do this? When are you going to do this? And so we have been able to garner some of the franchise agreements that we have in place now from the previous interest, which is awesome.
So walk the audience through, you know, if when they walk into a Jeremiah's Italian Ice, what can they expect? What's the look? What's the feel? Talk about the product a little bit. Obviously, this is an audio podcast, but do your best to kind of give it a visual look for folks.
Sure. So when you walk into a Jeremiah's Italian Ice, and some locations that we just started have interior concepts, but the majority of our locations are a walk up, which is kind of keeping that traditional Italian ice, you know, from the Jersey Shore that you're walking up and getting it. And then we have drive through locations as well. We started tinkering with interior concepts that have indoor seating, and we also have plenty of patio and outdoor seating for a lot of our locations as well. But when you arrive at a Jeremiah's Italian Ice, you should be met with a very vibrant, genuine greeting from our staff. I mean, we do a really, really particular job at hiring, looking for employees that really embody our core values. And those are to be cool, bold, genuine, vibrant, generous, and strategic. So we try to do everything and anything that we do, all of the customer service elements and just the way the units are designed is really to create an experience. Because at the end of the day, we're serving a product just like many of our competitors. But what we like to say sets us apart from the competition is our culture and the product. So the product is super unique. It's you're going to be met with this amazing menu of 40 plus flavors of our Italian ice that we make locally in our manufacturing facility for our store locations that are local, but all of our franchise locations and some of our certified training stores make the ice in-house every day. So you can have up to 40 different flavors. And then we have our delicious, creamy, soft serve ice cream that is different than what you're going to get at your typical soft serve ice cream location. The way that we have our machine calibrated in our overrun, we have a very thick, rich, and creamy product. So that's layered with the Italian ice. And what that does is it creates an individual experience for our guests, because you can pretty much customize those flavors to make the combinations that suit you. And what I like to say is there's something for everyone. Some people have more of the savory taste buds, or they like more of the fruity flavors, or more of the, you know, the passion fruits, or some people are the traditionalists. They just like your lemon and your cherry. So there's really something for everyone. And again, what we really pride ourselves on in being different from the competition and just, you know, being different in general is the culture piece. We just are a people first company, and we want all of our customers and our guests and all of our vendors, everyone, and our squad members to feel that sense of family when they come to our locations.
Well, so when you were saying it's a sort of a walk up, is it like a little hut? I don't know if that's the right term, but I mean, it's like a little house, because obviously there's not going to be a component for seeing. And also, where do those go? I mean, where do franchisees put those locations?
Well, another great thing about this concept is there's just that individualized, customizable experience for everyone. So when I say walk-up, so some of the locations that we have that are drive-through and walk-up have been former Checkers or former bank locations. So if you can kind of picture something in the middle of a plaza, perhaps, that used to be like a drive-through bank. And so we have taken over some spots like that. We also have the traditional inline space that are just going to be in your general shopping plazas. And then also the drive-throughs that are connected to a shopping plaza, if you will. So yeah, I guess you could say some of them kind of could look like a hut. They're really bright colors. The brand has been curated very specifically to be bright and bold and vibrant. So, you know, our colors are our lime green, our bright orange. You're going to see that at all of our locations. You're going to see the artwork that's really just engaging and vibrant with high energy.
Well, and the reason I thought about a hut is there used to be an Italian ice place near my town where it was literally like a hut, like in a parking lot, which I know yours are not like that. They're a little bit bigger, but the idea is that they're still a relatively small footprint. Do all of them have a drive-through component? Or are you looking to incorporate that into all of the ones that you guys continue to build? Or are there still some that, is it an option for folks to just do the drive up where they actually get out and go up to the counter, or are they all going to be contemplated with the drive-through component?
So our drive-through locations tend to fare better from a sales perspective. However, we're really competing in that space with everyone from Starbucks to Chick-fil-A. Really, everyone wants a drive-through on Main and Main, right? And unfortunately, with real estate, you're not always able to get that drive-through location. But we have very, very successful locations that are in line as well in shopping plazas. You know, we try to get an end cap, and our square footage can range between, we have units that are as small is 800 square feet, and then we go all the way up to over 2,000 square feet. We really feel like that sweet spot is kind of in that 1,200 space, which is similar to a lot of other fast casual concepts. So we're kind of competing with everyone for those top real estate locations. We say location, 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 but we have been very successful in really all three areas. So it's, you're not always going to be able to have a drive-through available to you. Sometimes economics don't always make sense. So we do have the options, which I think makes it an attractive franchise opportunity as well.
And what type of franchisees are you looking for? I mean, who's your ideal franchisee candidate? What kind of skills do they present? What kind of background and so forth to come into the Jeremiah's Italian Ice concept?
Yeah, awesome. Awesome question, because we get this a lot. I think what we're really, truly looking for is we're looking for partners that also personify our core values and our culture. And we do a really, really particular job at vetting franchisees, because we're really more concerned with a cultural alignment than we are with mainly food service experience. So everyone always asks, like, do you have to have food service experience? Have you had to own a restaurant? Did you have to work in a restaurant? I mean, that's obviously always preferred. However, we're really more looking for that cultural alignment. We're looking for the genuine partners, the ones that are strategic. They have to have a passion for entrepreneurial problem solving. They have to have a mind for strategy. We're looking for cool partners, cool people to be vibrant, just as Jeremiah's Italian Ice is. We also, part of our success has been with the people that we employ, and we do employ a very young demographic. So we need to make sure that whoever is going to be involved in the Jeremiah's franchise system, that they understand how to manage that demographic, because it's definitely different. So we need to make sure that culturally you're able to understand the management challenges and opportunities that come with managing a demographic such as ours.
Obviously, given where we're at and with COVID-19, the pandemic that we're all in the midst of right now, every business is challenged right now. What are some of the things that, you know, Jeremiah's Italian Ice is doing from a franchisor perspective, not only help their franchisees, but just help with the customer base and help as a measure to not only get through the challenges of COVID-19, but even going forward with some of their offerings?
You know, when COVID kind of hit us, it hit us like a ton of bricks, like it hit everyone else in the world. And so, you know, we didn't really know what to expect. We had to really kind of look at this from the perspective of, we didn't know if we were going to be 50% down, 30% down. So we were able to make some quick decisions early on. But the number one thing we were focused on was really protecting the squad and our customers. So, you know, as I mentioned before, we're a people first company. So our number one goal has been really just to make sure that everyone's safe. And that's everyone, like I said, from our squad to our loyal customers, our vendors, our franchisees, they have been at the helm of every decision we have made. So we definitely had to modify our operation to be able to make things work during the pandemic. You know, different things such as face masks, social distancing, applying the acrylic plexiglass. We had to temporarily suspend our samples, which is a big part of the customer experience. However, we definitely wanted to make sure that anything that we did, we were doing it for the overall greater good of the communities that we serve. And being able to be a light in the community, we've done some generous donations to healthcare workers and first responders. And we stay really close to the guidance from the CDC as well as local jurisdictions to make sure that we are within where we need to be to kind of pivot our operation. But I think that one of the biggest takeaways from this, especially for, you know, franchisees, because imagine we're running this franchise program. We've sold over 100 units amongst 43 groups, and a couple of them were, you know, right at the finish line and about to open during this situation. So another one of our goals is to make sure that they feel confident in our leadership's ability to be able to make good decisions to run a successful business, because we want to make sure that no matter what, the franchisees are set up for success, especially moving forward. And, you know, what we learned, and which I think will be comforting to our franchise community, and we learned this previously when we hit the recession in 2008, that because our price point is a value offer, it really did help us fare pretty well during this time, because people that could get out of their homes to, you know, get to our drive-through locations or be able to order us on the different third-party delivery platforms, we're still able to treat, you know, a family of four for under $20. So I think that has been something that's been awesome during this experience. I mean, this is, you know, obviously been a devastating pandemic for so many businesses and could have been very detrimental to ours as well. But I think the fact that we're able to still remain in business and be able to generate sales during this time is really going to be positive for our franchisees moving forward.
Well, and you guys you're in Florida, Arizona, Georgia, North Carolina, Texas. Are you across the country beyond that? Or are you guys hoping to go across the country?
Well, our focus, especially right now, is going to be Southeast United States, if you will, or anything below the Mason-Dixon line. So that's kind of where we're focusing. We wanted to make sure, again, we didn't want to venture too far outside of the climates that we are accustomed to, because all of our sales history is going to be based in Florida. We are across the state. However, we do experience some seasonality here in Florida. So we want to make sure that, again, that we're setting up our franchisees with the best opportunity for success. So we're focusing more in the South for those warmer climates.
All right. Final question. This is going to be a tough one. I need your top three favorite flavors.
Oh my gosh. This varies so frequently for me. I can tell you that I am one of those people that sometimes my flavor depends on what mood I'm in, but we launched a flavor, I think 2 years ago, in the spring. It's called one of our spring favorites, and it was lemon basil. And I just adore lemon basil. I think it's awesome. It's super refreshing, especially when it's really hot out. Another flavor that is one of my go-to and my favorites is coconut. I love to do the coconut with the chocolate ice cream because it tastes like an almond joy. Cookie butter is always a fan favorite for me. Sea salt caramel. I mean, honestly, it's a miracle I don't weigh a million pounds taste testing all of our delicious treats. But those are my top three.
Well, you're making me hungry. We need to end this interview because you're just making me too hungry. Now, thank you. I appreciate you coming on, Nicole, and sharing about Jeremiah's Italian Ice. And if anybody wants to learn more about it, you can go to jeremiahsfranchise.com. You can also find them on Instagram at Jeremiah's Ice and Facebook at Jeremiah's Italian Ice. Thank you again for coming on. Obviously, these are challenging times for everybody, but I really appreciate you coming on, sharing your story, and sharing the growth of the Jeremiah's Italian Ice franchise. So thanks so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning in for another episode of Franchise Euphoria. If you enjoyed this episode or have enjoyed the podcast in general, I would really appreciate it if you could go to iTunes and leave me a rating and review. It really helps to get this podcast out to more and more people. So the easy way to do it is go to iTunes and in the search box, put in Franchise Euphoria. You will then see my cover art, and you click on my smiling face that says Franchise Euphoria, and then click on the link that says ratings and reviews. It's that simple, but boy, oh boy, does it mean the world to me when people leave ratings and reviews. And like I said, it really helps get the show out there. Once again, would love it if you would go to iTunes and leave a rating and review if you enjoyed this episode or other episodes of the show. And until the next time, happy franchising.